Welcome to 318 Live. We are the city's young adult ministry, and we are so excited to celebrate our six-year party. This is what I want to do real quick. If you're a pastor in the room, could you just stand up? If you're a pastor, we want to honor you real quick. If you're a pastor, yeah, we've got pastors from all over. And you guys can stay standing. If you are a leader at 318 Live, if you lead one of our teams at 318 Live, could you stand up? Okay. Now, if you are a volunteer at 318 Live, if you serve in any capacity, could you just stand up? If you serve in any capacity, stand up. I want to tell you this, that these people standing up are the reason why we get to do what we do. It's because of the pastors who partner with us, the leaders who carry the teams, and the teams who carry out the vision. Without everyone standing up, we could not do everything that we do at 318 Live. So if you want to be a part of this movement, a great way of getting involved is by serving. So let's just give everyone a round of applause for all the sacrifice that they have given to 318 Live. So I'm really excited about tonight. I'm going to preach, but I also want to be pretty candid and like honest with you guys. I feel like honesty is an amazing place to start a message because maybe you can relate. I'm going to be real. From year five to year six, it has been the struggle. It's been the hardest year of my life. It's really just been a very hard year. And about halfway through the summer, I felt like I was a little bit at like rock bottom. Like I just couldn't get like this spiritual breakthrough. Like I knew that there was something that God was trying to do, but it's like I just couldn't really tap into it. Maybe you can relate. Maybe you've been there before where you feel like you know God is near, but you just can't go to the next level. You just can't touch that next place where you need to be or where you know you need to be in God's presence. And so I went to this conference and I was very intentional at the conference. I was like, I'm going to every session. Like I'm trying to get as much Jesus as humanly possible. Like I've got to get some Jesus in my life. So I go to this conference and we're probably four sessions in it was the last session of the conference. And you know, God had done a great work in my heart. I'd heard some incredible messages, been a part of some great worship. And I thought, you know what, God, you've done everything. Like, God, I came here and I really needed you and your presence was here. And you just did everything. You did it all. And so I'm standing in worship and I'm just in this attitude of thankfulness. Like, God, thank you for what you're doing. And then someone taps on my shoulder. I'm like, swerve, do not touch me. I'm worshiping. I'm joking. I'm not like that. The first time I'm not like that. I'm joking. So anyways, this guy comes up to me and he ended up being a pastor at this church. And he's like, hey, as I was praying, I really felt like the Lord wanted me to share something with you, something for your life. And I said, well, come on. If God's got something for me, I want to hear it. He says, you know, the Lord wanted me to tell you that you're just about to walk into the most fruitful season of your life. Let me tell you, at that moment, I could have hit the ground, cried, stayed there 10 years, rolled over every 30 minutes to make sure I'm even, and just like lived off of communion for the rest of my life. At this point, I'm so excited because I'm like, God, I need the seed. Has anyone ever been there like you just need the fruitful season? Like, you know, I've been in the wilderness a little too long. Give me some fruit. You know, I was there. And so he says that, and he could have stopped, and it would have been just fine. But he didn't. He kept going. He said, yeah, the Lord says that he's really creating some rivers in the desert. For like, there's just really going to be some rivers in the desert. I'm like, well, that sounds appealing. If I'm in the desert, I would like rivers. And I said, well, praise God. And he says, yeah. And he said, and then he says some personal things. And he doesn't really know me. And he says, you know what? He said, the Lord tells me that you have a word that is for people, and there's going to be people from all these different cities who are going to come and hear this word. And this guy doesn't even know me. And I'm like, you're kidding me. Like, what's my address? You know, I'm quizzing him at this point. And so he said a few more personal things, and then he walked away, and I was just so grateful because whenever he spoke the word of God, I purposed in my heart to agree with it. I said, you know what, God, this is going to be a fruitful season. You know what, God, I do believe that you're going to create rivers in the desert. You know what, God, I think you're going to do everything that you said you were going to do. I'm agreeing in my heart that your word is true and that this is for me. This is a word that's for me. And so as the week continued, Pastor Philip preached, and I was off ministering somewhere. And then before I preached that Monday, Natalie called me. So this is only like 3 days after this guy talked to me. Natalie called me, and I'm about to preach at this church, and she's about to try to make sure 318 doesn't burn down while I'm gone, which she does an incredible job. So thank you, Natalie. Can we give it up for Natalie? Putting out fires everywhere. We would be lost without her. So this is what she does. She says, oh my gosh, Daniel, my life is amazing. And I'm like, oh man, Natalie, like, praise God. Like that's great. Like, my life is good too. She said, no, like, God is so good. And I'm like, yeah, praise God. Like, he's so good. And she's like, you don't understand. Like, this last weekend, I was in Texas, and this pastor got up and worshiped. Jeremy Foster. Yeah, our friend Jeremy Foster. Okay. All right. A little creepy. I'm joking. He says, Jeremy Foster got up in worship and gave this word, and it was for me. Like, it was so for me. And whenever he spoke this word, it just refilled my spirit. I feel so alive now. She's like, you know, I was sick the week before. She's like, I think there was just some spiritual attack in my life just because I was so parched from God, but I really heard a word from the Lord, and it just refilled my spirit. And she's like, and you've got to read Isaiah 43. And I'm like, yeah, I'll read it. She's like, no, Daniel, I can't stop reading Isaiah 43. And I was like, Natalie, I'm about to go preach. She's like, stop and go read Isaiah 43. I said, Natalie, I'm about to preach. I said, you need to go back to 318 Live. I need to go back and preach this message before they kick me out of town for not showing up. Interesting concept. I said, I promise you, I'll read Isaiah 43. And so the next morning, in my quiet time, conviction struck me. I can't tell if it was the Lord or Natalie's persistence. I mean, that's a spiritual principle either way, you know what I'm saying? And so I said, okay, well, I'm going to read Isaiah 43. You know, whenever God does something in someone else's life and then they want to share it with you, but you don't think it's going to happen in your life? I was wrong. So I got out the Bible, and I'm reading Isaiah 43, and I'm going through it, and I'm like, oh, this is good. And I'm underlining stuff because I'm real spiritual now. And I'm like, yeah, I'm a pastor. Yeah, I'm underlining my Bible. I'm going to preach this tonight. So anyways, I'm underlining stuff, and then I got to verse 19, and this is what it said. It said, behold, I'm doing a new thing. And I was like, ooh, Lord, I like that. It says, for I'm about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness, and I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. And I said, oh my gosh. I said, that's the same word in a different translation that this guy gave me. Like, that's what the Lord spoke to me. I was like, that's incredible. And of course, I finished Isaiah 43, and I was like, that's amazing. Like, that's so cool. And then I was like, but I wonder what part of Isaiah 43. You know, there are many verses in Isaiah 43. She didn't say it was that one. It could be a different one. And like I said, in different translations, it literally says rivers in the desert, you know? And so I was like, so I texted her, and I said, Natalie, short version, all caps. Maybe not. We're about to prove it. I said, Natalie, short version, what part about Isaiah 43 stood out? So let's put up that text. Short answer, LOL. She said, the part in verse 19 where it says, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And it says, I think that part is pretty relevant because I feel like both personally and corporately, we're kind of in a desert season where we're like, God, are we done yet? That's such a beautiful question. That's the name of tonight's message. God, are we done yet? The past few weeks have been pretty hard for me. And then this weekend, Pastor Jeremy felt like God wanted him to read that verse and like halfway through worship. And I literally almost started crying. Let me tell you this. I was telling this story to someone else. And I said, yeah, Natalie started crying. And she said, whoa, I almost started crying. And I was like, almost. Let's continue. She said, it's been in my head ever since, really, because it's true every day, really multiple times a day. And what got me is whenever this guy gave me this word, I said, this is not just a word for me. This is for 318 Live. Like, he's about to do a new thing, and he's about to create a pathway in the wilderness, church in the wild, and rivers in the desert. And he spoke the exact same thing to Natalie one day later. Can I tell you this? There is a word for the season, and all you have to do is agree with it. Guess what? Someone didn't come up to you and give you that word. Guess what? This didn't, you know, Bible roulette. It didn't come and flash into your Bible and it was already highlighted and you read it on a prayer cloth or anything like that. Like I'm giving you the word right now. And the word of the Lord is, behold, I'm doing a new thing. He said, can you not see it? It's already begun. I'm creating a pathway in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And the beautiful thing for you is all you have to do is agree with it. All you have to do is say, you know what? I want in on that word. So tonight, I want to preach out of, you guessed it, Isaiah 43. And we're going to open up in verse 14, and it's not going to be long because that story took up a bulk of time. But I'm going to open up in verse 14. And the kind of the title heading over this section is the Lord's promise of victory. How many of you guys know that we need a promise of victory in our lives? That if we never had the promise of victory, that we would be struggling and just want to give up. But there is a promise from the Lord, and his promise is victory. So verse 14, this is what it says. It says, this is what the Lord says, your Redeemer. Isaiah's letting them know the end before they get there. He said, look, the Lord is a Redeemer. That is his character. So it doesn't matter what he does or how or the path he takes you to get there. His character is redemption. And that's what he has for you tonight. He said, the Holy One of Israel. And then this is the prophetic word that Isaiah releases to the people of Israel. He says, for your sakes, I will send an army against Babylon, forcing the Babylonians to flee in those ships they are so proud of. I am the Lord, the Holy One, Israel's creator and king. I am the Lord who opened a way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. I called forth the mighty army of Egypt with all of its chariots and horses, and I drew them beneath the waves, and they drowned, their life snuffed out like a smoldering candle wick. Before we continue, I need to ask you a question. Have any of you guys been in the struggle? I mean, we kind of talked about it a little bit already, but this past summer was really a struggle season for me. I can remember one day in particular. I had been traveling, preaching, like traveling, come back for one day, travel again. And I got back home. And I remember I was so tired from traveling. And at the same time, I was trying to book and plan and manage our trip to Costa Rica. And Pastor Ricardo is literally in the Eastern Hemisphere. Like, I can't get in touch with him anywhere. And like, I'm trying to pay for things with money I don't have. I'm trying to talk to people who don't speak my language. I need a guy who's literally on the other side of the world. So I'm trying to plan this trip. I've got 318 Live, and guess what? We all need vision. And then all of a sudden it's like, hey D, I think we want you to be the youth pastor at North Point for a while. And I'm like, sure, I'd love to. That would be great. I had nothing on my plate, but I'll take it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm getting like stuffed. And so I'm like, so now I've got, and I told God, I said, God, I don't want to preach recycled things. I want to preach new things for the generation. I don't want to give them my leftovers. And so I'm doing stuff for the generation. I'm doing stuff for 318 Live. I'm trying to plan this trip to Costa Rica with people I can't even talk to. We've got the internship that is full time. So by the way, they need things to do throughout the day. I come to our house, everything's a wreck. I'm tired from traveling, and I go to my bathroom, and my toilet is stopped up from the other bathroom. I got the crazy eye right now. And you know how that's not normally a big deal, but whenever everything else around you is a big deal, someone can just like, and you're over the edge. Let me tell you what was my over the edge moment. So I go and get the plunger for my bathroom, for this other person's bathroom, and I grab the plunger, And I start going at this thing, letting out. I'm like, I have never plunged so hard in my entire. So flush, nothing. So I get the plunger again. Flush, nothing. I get this plunger. I'm boom, boom. Flush, nothing. Nothing happened. Just then Trey walks in. Bad timing, boy. Back up. I'm literally sitting on the bathtub, leaned over the toilet, plunger in my hand. And Trey's like, what's up, bro? I said, you want to know what's up? I said, I feel like I'm doing life alone. I said, I'm traveling everywhere. I'm preaching. I've got 318, the generation, Costa Rica with people who don't even speak my language. The interns need something to do. Now I'm updating the social media page, and I'm plunging someone else's. I said, I flushed the toilet 20 times. And I sit there, and I start plunging, and I just start crying. I'm bawling my eyes out. I'm like, despair. I'm literally at the end of my rope. And Trey comes up to me and he says, it's going to be all right, buddy. I say, well, no one's using it. Go ahead, grab a seat. And we sit there. And he prays for me, like a good friend does. He prays for me. He says, I'm going to post something on Twitter. Like a good friend. And he prays for me. And then he looks at me. He says, you know what, bro? He's like, everything's going to be okay. And I said, you're right. Everything's going to be okay. And it's not okay now, but it's going to be okay. And I'm going to make it no matter how hard it gets. This is the situation that the Israelites are finding themselves in. They are under Babylonian captivity, and literally everything is going wrong. They are in slavery. They feel helpless. They can't get out. The popular consensus is that I'm going to spend my entire life right here and die. They have nothing. And it's whenever you find yourself at nothing. It's whenever you find yourself at the rock bottom that the Lord speaks a word into your life. And so the Lord talks to Isaiah and he says this. He says, for your sakes. Notice he didn't say for my sake. Everything's about God's glory. But sometimes he just does things because he loves you. You know, he just cares a lot about you. He sees your pain. He sees your turmoil. He knows what you're going through. And he says, for your sakes, he said, I will send an army against Babylon, forcing the Babylonians to flee those pretty little ships that they're so proud of. He's taunting the enemy before he's even done anything. It's a joke. The Babylonians are a joke to him. And so to build rapport with the people, God's always got to remind us at stuff God's already done. It's like if we could just adopt that spirit of thankfulness and remember all he's done, we wouldn't let half of the Satan's attacks against us mean anything. He's delivered us a million times before now. He's going to do the same thing again. And so this is what he says. He says, I called forth the mighty army of Egypt with all of its chariots and horses, and I drew them beneath the waves, and they drowned. So what's funny is whenever the Israelites are having their mass exodus, they're leaving the Egyptian rule, it says the Lord drew the Egyptians out. Let me tell you this. Sometimes whenever the enemy's chasing you and you feel like you're losing, it's just a setup so God can drown your enemies. Sometimes he's got to pull them out so he can sink them under. And so this is what he says. He said, I called forth the mighty army of Egypt with all of its chariots and horses. I drew them beneath the waves and they drowned. And it says this. This just stuck out to me. It says, their lives snuffed out like a smoldering candle wick. I started thinking about it. Got a little tea light here. Smells good too. Might leave it burning in a second. Round two. Easy. Y'all see that prayer I did under my breath? I said, come on, God, come on, God, come on. I was like Elisha. I said, fire, fall down, fire, fall down. So all that turmoil, all the oppression, all the slavery, all everything, burning. Oh, it's hot too. It's real hot. Remember, this is from God's perspective. There's just so much. We think it's a big deal. And God's looking at your little tea light saying, we literally, these are the kind of attacks. Whose side are you on? These are the kind of attacks where we look at the plan of the enemy. We lay on our closet floor and we say, oh, despair. The little flame's about to incinerate me. I'm about to die. This is going to be horrible. And God's literally looking like, yeah, I mean, that's tough. And it says that the Lord, just kind of snuffs it out. And what we thought was a big deal wasn't really much after all. Because to the Lord, that's nothing. That's nothing. You know, but it's easy to see from God's perspective. You know, it's easy to look at the little candlelight and be like, oh my gosh, like God can do anything. Because we put ourselves in his shoes saying, oh, I could just take that out. You know, right? Right, guys? What about whenever you can't put it out with your finger? What about then? You know, it's fun to look at the little candle illustration and be like, man, I can man up on that candle. This is funny, like, I got that candle. But what do you do whenever there's some real fire in your life? You know? What do you do whenever you're like, well, that's a big old flame? You know, what do you do? Because in all of your power, let's face it, might would be difficult. Anyone want to stand up here and put this dude out? You want to grab that with your hand? You want to just go ahead and, I got this. Nah, God. No, this was like, you see, sometimes the heat gets turned up in your life. And you're like, oh, God, I'm not going to make it if you don't show up. God, if you don't come on right now, I'm about to get incinerated. And God's like, please. I had to do that so my pastor wouldn't have a heart attack. And literally, you're left with just like a little crisp. Because you see, the greatest attack the enemy could ever put on your life is like a baby candle to God. He can put out the attack of the enemy in the wilderness in a heartbeat. And it don't hurt him a bit. It don't bother him a bit. God does not approach the flame, the fire of your life and say, this is too much. I got to tap out. You need a bigger God. You need a better God. God looks at your measly candle of a problem and say, why don't you just ask me? Why don't you just trust me? Why don't you just believe me? I can put out your fire better than Satan can light them. And so that's the word of the Lord. He says, oh yeah, I'm going to do this for you. You're going to be fine. You're going to be the Babylonians. You're going to get away. Everything's going to be great. All this. And let me just remind you the whole, whenever I drowned like the entire army of Egypt in the Red Sea. Pfft. Literally. Put out the fire. Pfft. Horses, chariots, everywhere. You know? And then he says this. This is what gets me. If we continue Isaiah 43, he says, but forget all that. The Lord says, but forget all that. It's nothing compared to what I'm going to do. What? You just drowned the entire Egyptian army. You're trying to deliver us out of the Babylonian army, the largest empire in the world that we know of. And you're telling me that all of that is nothing compared to what you're about to do? This is what it is. See, the Egyptians were the largest world power of the time whenever God snuffed them out. You see, the Babylonians were the largest world power whenever God snuffed them out. Can I tell you this? The largest thing that is in the world is like the weakest thing against the arm of God. They stand no chance. Our God is greater. He is bigger. He is more. The attack of the enemy on your life is a drop in a bucket compared to the strong arm of God. The attack of the enemy on our churches, it's really just a drop in the bucket for what the Lord can do. The attack of the enemy on 318 Live, this wilderness season that we've walked through, God's like, nothing. It's nothing to the Lord. All you have to do is agree with him. And so we continue on and it says this, for I'm about to do something new. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness and I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. This is what's so funny is I told the team 4 weeks ago, something happened at 318 Live. And we got into our post-service meeting, and I said, guys, God's doing something new. This was before I got the word. This was before we had all this. This is before Natalie. This is before the conference. We're still kind of struggling at this time, you know. I'm still in the struggle plunging toilets, flushing 20 times. And I just felt it. At the end of service, I said, the Lord is doing something. And I said, and it's our job to agree with what he's doing. And in this verse, it says, see, I've already begun. Do you not see it? Do you not see it? And as I was thinking about this, do you not see it? And the band can come back up because I'm about to land the plane. But as I was thinking about this, do you not see it? Do you not see it? I have this Bible study on seeing what God sees. And it's so funny, Isaiah 43:8, which I got this from my Bible study, not from studying the Bible or this. This is what it says. It says, bring out the people who have eyes but are blind. And it says, who have ears but are deaf. And that's a common theme you see in the Bible. People who have ears, but they can't hear what the Lord is saying. People have eyes, but they can't see what the Lord is doing. Let me tell you this. One day, whenever someone shared the gospel with you, it just made sense. That's what it means to have ears that hear and eyes that see. It's whenever you see the things not that are right in front of you, but the things that God is telling you that you can't see, That's when we adopt faith. It took me to 2 Kings chapter 6. You see, Elisha is here with his little servant boy, and the army of Aram has been planning these attacks on their people. And the army would be like, let's go attack over there. And Elisha would be like, Lord, they're going to attack over there. And they would just like stomp them out. And then they're like, okay, I've got a better idea. Let's attack over there. And Elisha would be like, they're going to attack over there. You know, and so they would go stop him. And so the king of Aram is literally like, I'm going to kill this fool. Well, I'm about to kill this dude. Like, he is literally like he's listening in on our private conversations. We have got to kill Elisha. So this is what they decided. Funny, God didn't tell him this was going to happen. Elisha is sitting there with his servant. And this is what it says in 2 Kings 6:14. It says, so one night the king of Aram sent a great army with many chariots and horses to surround the city. So there they are, sleeping one night. Elisha, servant, they wake up and the whole city is surrounded. And this is what it says. It says, when the servant of the man of God got up early the next morning and went outside, there were troops, horses, and chariots everywhere. And so he goes back inside to Elisha, and this is what he says. He says, oh, sir, what will we do now? He said, and the young man cried to Elisha. Elisha says, do not be afraid, for there are more on our side than on their side. And so this is what the servant says. The servant says, okay, let me get this straight. Shenanigans. He's lying. This fool is lying to me right now. Elisha has finally lost it. I'm looking around the whole house. There is one of me and one of him. That makes two. And then I walk outside the house and you got army, you got troops, you got chariots, you got people everywhere on all sides. They're literally surrounding us. And Elisha responds like this. He says, then Elisha prayed. He says, oh Lord, open his eyes and let him see. Then the Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw that the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. So you see, the enemy that had surrounded them the entire time was surrounded by God. But the servant didn't see what the man of God saw. You see, the man of God wasn't worried that in the physical it looked like we weren't going to make it. That in the physical, it looked like we were about to be toast, like we about to be dead, like someone about to like barbecue us, like we gonna get killed, like it's 1-2 versus all of you. But the man of God said, no. Lord, open his eyes so that he can see what you and I see. And he looks and he says, I see you. I see you. And so this is how they respond. Granted, you realize the army of Aram could never see what was against them, okay? Could never see what was against them. They only saw these two. So the man, this is what it says. Man, I love this. Then, as the Arminian army advanced towards him, Elisha prayed. He just keeps praying. Oh my gosh, it sounds like prayer is the foundation of his victory. Oh my gosh, that's so good. This is what it says. Oh Lord, please make them blind. He says, so the Lord struck them with blindness as Elisha had asked. This is dirty what happens in verse 19. He says, then Elisha went out and told them, for you have come the wrong way. Just straight up lies to this poor man, you know, in his army of friends. He says, oh, you have come the wrong way. This isn't the right city. He's like, you're just in the wrong place right now. And this is what he says, follow me and I will take you to the man you are looking for. And he led them, to the city of Samaria. As soon as they entered Samaria, this is my favorite part, Elisha prayed, oh Lord, Now open their eyes and let them see. So the Lord opened their eyes, and they discovered they were in the middle of Samaria. Can I tell you this? What the Lord wants us to do tonight is we need to lift up a prayer of, God, open my eyes. And this is what we need to see. You need to have your eyes open and your ears open to see what the Lord is doing and to hear what the Lord is doing. Because whenever you can see and whenever you can hear, then you position yourself to agree. And whenever you agree, you go into victory. So you might say, I feel real defeated right now. I'm real low right now. That's okay. We're about to pray. And God's about to open up your eyes. He's about to open up your ears. And you're about to see. And then you're about to receive. You're going to agree, and you're going to walk in victory. This is what I think is so funny about this whole situation. It's not enough that the Lord opened their eyes so that they could see the enemy. But then this man prayed, why don't you blind the enemy, led them to reality, and said, okay, now God, let the enemy see what they're up against. Are you hearing me? The Lord wants us to show Satan who he's really up against. You see, we're leading. There's an attack against our city. There's an attack against our ministry. There's an attack against your life. And the Lord's saying, come on, bring him over here. Bring him over here. Bring him over here. And I think he probably positioned Satan about right here. And about 30 minutes ago, he said, okay, now open up your eyes. And Satan was like, it's a lot of people. It's a lot of people. You see, if you could see what God sees, you would know that you're stronger than you think you are. You've got more people for you than are against you. And if Satan could open his eyes, he would see that he has no chance. And so why don't we get on our feet? And this is our prayer. Our prayer is that we would see what the Lord is doing in this place. My prayer is that you would see.